Translation purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The personality of Godhead, seen leaning favorably towards His loving servitors, His very sight intoxicating and attractive, appeared to be very much satisfied. He had a smiling face decorated with an enchanting reddish hue. He was dressed in yellow robes and wore earrings and helmet on his head. He had four hands, and his chest was marked with the lines of the goddess of fortune. Srila Prabhupada's purport. In the Padma Purana, Uttarakhanda, there is a full description of the Yoga Pitta, or the particular place where the Lord is in audience to His eternal devotees. In that Yoga Pitta, the personifications of religion, knowledge, opulence, and renunciation are all seated on the lotus feet of the Lord. The four Vedas, namely Rig, Sama, Yajur, and Atharva, all present there personally to advise the Lord. The 16 energies headed by Chanda are all present there. Chanda and Kamuda are the first two doorkeepers, and at the middle door are the doorkeepers named Bhadra and Subhadra, and at the last door are Jay and Vijay. There are other doorkeepers also named Kamuda and Kamalaksha, Pundraka, Vamana, rated and protected by the above mentioned doorkeepers. O Srimad Bhagavatam, all nectar churned from the ocean of all Vedic scriptures, O most prominent transcendental fruit of all Vedas, O you who are enriched with jewels of all spiritual philosophical conclusions, O you who grant spiritual vision to all the people of the world, O life breath of the Vaishnava devotees, O Lord, you are the sun which has risen to dispel the darkness of Kali Yuga. You are actually Krishna who has returned amongst us. O Srimad Bhagavatam, I offer my respectful obeisance unto you. By reading you, one attains transcendental bliss. For your symbols rain pure love of God upon the reader. You are always to be served by everyone, for you are the incarnation of Krishna. O Srimad Bhagavatam, O my only friend, O my companion, O my teacher, O my great wealth, O my deliverer, O my good fortune, O bliss, I offer my respectful obeisance unto you. O Srimad Bhagavatam, O giver of all saintliness to the unsaintly, O uplifter of the very fallen, please do not ever leave me. Please become manifest upon my heart and my throat, accompanied by pure love for Krishna. So I'll try my best to share what realizations I have on this verse. I was asked last minute. I'll try my best. So he is explaining about the Vaikuntha world where Krishna is present in his Narayan form, how he is sought by his different energies. And even in this world, the deity form is not different from the Lord. It's identical. So there's a quote by Bhaktivedanta Thakur explaining something on some points he explains on this on this topic. The deity performs transcendental pastimes in Vaikuntha in the merciful incarnation of the Lord's eternal original form in this world. Deity is a direct manifestation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Vaishnavas are not idol worshippers who imagine that God has either a material form or no form at all. The Lord's various incarnations, Rama, Narasimha, Varaha, Matsya, Kurma, etc., are all transcendental Vishnu Tattva forms. Their names, forms, qualities, associates, and pastimes are eternal. Each of them control Maya. Each has an eternal abode in Vaikuntha. Out of compassion for all living entities in this miserable world, and by their own sweet will, these incarnations appear and exhibit their opulence. Yet even though they incarnate in the material world, they remain fully transcendental and always protect their independent natures. Okay. So, also we just read in these prayers by Sanatana Goswami how the Srimad Bhagavatam is also an incarnation of Krishna, direct incarnation of Krishna. So, these are some pastimes by this book by Bhakti Vikas Maharaj. Travels with ISKCON Sannyasi, including some India's less known, most charming holy places. So he gives some pastimes of different deities. So, the first deity he covers is the deity of Srinadji. Srinadji was the deity that lifted Govardhan Hill, Gopal, who lifted Govardhan Hill. And that deity was discovered by Madhavendra Puri. Gopal appeared to Madhavendra Puri in a dream and said, "I'm in this forest, I've been there for a long time, and you have to take me out." So Madhavendra Puri got the villagers to dig this forest out, take room of the trees and hedges and whatever, and then they found the deity. So so that deity was on top of Gordon Hill, and then and I think Rupa Goswami had darshan of the deity at some point, Lord Chaitanya had darshan of the deity at some point, where the deity came down at some point. There was a pastime how there was a curfew with these villagers there, and the Turks were going to attack, the Muslims were going to attack, so deity was moved to another place. So in this way, Rupa Goswami and Lord Chaitanya got darshan of that deity. So at present, that deity is being worshipped in Natwa, in Gujarat, and he gets offered 54 offerings every day. And the income of that deity is 500,000 rupees every day spent on the income of that, for worship of that, maintenance of the temple. And they have 10 million rupees on the side for emergencies, whatever. So it shows how Krishna is full of six opulences: wealth, strength, beauty, knowledge, renunciation, and wisdom. So, when Prabhupada said one time that ISKCON could have taken the followers of Pushti Mag, they could have taken them to court and got a deity for ISKCON. But Prabhupada said that would have created unnecessary enemies, because these people wouldn't have followed ISKCON fully. So we have many temples, so let them have their temple. So you can see how, and this Valbha Sampradaya, they're very favorable to ISKCON. So when Bhakti Vikas Maharaj went, they received him well, and they allowed him to take the full description of the they allowed him to see the different things about Srinadji and so that's just one. This is just one of the pastimes. There's a, and the next one is Chitrakut. So in Chitrakoot, there is no deity mentioned, but there is a pastime of Sitaram, Lakshman, Hanuman, how in Lord Ram's Leela, these deities were there. And there was one Brahmana, when Lord Ram used to go out for his, as a king, he used to leave the kingdom, Ayodhya. This Brahmana wouldn't take water or not eat anything for 7 days. So Lord Ram told Lakshman, you give this deity to this Brahmana. And that deity was being worshipped by Hanuman at some point. Then it was passed on to Bhima. And that deity is in line of the Madhva Sampradaya, Udupi. That deity is being worshipped there now. So concerning Chitrakoot, they chant the names of Lord Ram 24 hours a day in certain places. The names of Lord Ram are being chanted. And that has been going for like 40 years. So you can see how Krishna is more merciful than a deity form. The deity is yet of rules and regulations, but chanting holy name, not so many rules and regulations. Only thing you have to avoid is offenses to the holy name, and don't get into sense gratification. So that requires to get a higher taste. So this so this deity of Madan Mohan Koroli, there's interesting pastimes, quite a few pastimes. And Sanatan Goswami, when he was in Vrindavan, he was looking for that deity for a long time. And he couldn't find that deity. And he became disturbed. So Krishna appeared to him and said, I am in the house of this devotee, one devotee. Let's see if we can find the name. Damodar Chuba. He was in his house, the devotee called Damodar Chuba. And when Sanatana Goswami went there, he saw the deity playing in the backyard. Krishna was playing with the coward boy, with the other boys, just playing. And so Krishna appeared to Sanatana Goswami and told him, when you come next day, the son of the family will get sick. So in the Vedic times, the Brahmanas used to cure used to help householders out by curing the children and giving good advice. So Sanatana Goswami came, and the son became very sick. So Sanatana Goswami gave him attention a few days, and the son got cured. And so they asked Sanatana Goswami, what would you like as a dakshin? And Sanatana Goswami, I want the deity of Madan Mohan. So this is when Damodar Chobha was on there as well. He went on traveling. And just his wife was there. Now, Sanatana Goswami was very skinny. He wasn't that strong physically. So the wife said, okay, if you can lift the deity, then you can take him. So Sanatana Goswami lifted the deity and started taking him. And the wife was very impressed that Krishna wants to go with this saint. So, Yes, so there was another pastime. Maharaj Gopal Singh traveled from Koroli to Jaipur and asked Jai Singh to part with Madan Mohan. But Jai Singh was doubtful about Gopal Singh's story. Okay, let's just get the full little bit of a story. So, yeah, so there's many pastimes within Madan Mohan deity. So everyone's familiar with the story how when Sanatana Goswami put him in the temple, he was just offering him dry chapatis without any salt. And Krishna told Sanatana, "Give me some salt." So Sanatana Goswami told Krishna that, "You ask for salt, then you ask for many other things. So I can't do that. I have my services to do as well." So then a ship got wrecked in the Yamuna, right? And Sanatana Goswami helped the ship become to safety. And and then that ship owner, he actually made a temple. He actually provided whatever the deity needed. So, so there's many stories of, okay. So, when Madan Mohan was being carried from Jaipur to Koroli, he came to a village where the well had been dried up for a year. The villagers prayed to Madan Mohan, and the well started giving water. All the villagers became great devotees of Madan Mohan. The village was in the territory of Rajasthan under Jai Singh. As news of this wonderful event spread, Jai Singh came to know of it, and he offered the area of the village to service of Madan Mohan. A Muslim devotee named Taks Khan regularly came to the Madan Mohan temple to see the deity, offer him food, and take prasadam. When some Hindus came to know that the Muslim was going into the temple, they objected. Taks Khan was prohibited from entering. Feeling very disappointed, Taks Khan stayed at home and stopped eating and drinking. Madan Mohan wasn't very happy with this, so disguised as a guard, he went to Taks Khan's house with a silver dish full of prasadam. Seeing the guard, Taks Khan told him, "How can I take Madan Mohan's prasadam without first having taken his darshan?" Madan Mohan replied, "Please get up, have darshan, and then take the prasadam." When Taks Khan realized that Madan Mohan himself was standing before him, he asked for pardon. "My lord, why are you so much trouble for me? The lord disappeared and Taks Khan took prasadam. That night, the chief priest of the temple had a dream in which Madan Mohan told him that Taks Khan should be allowed into the temple to have darshan. The chief priest related this dream to the other priests. So there's another story, a revived son. A Muslim named Kala Kund, a recent resident of Koli, would come regularly to see Madan Mohan. In his old age, he was blessed with a son. But one day, the boy was bitten by a snake. Because no one knew how to treat him, the boy died. The grieving Kala Kund brought his son to the door of Madan Mohan's temple and started singing songs in praise of the Lord. In the meantime, Sri Hari Kishore Goswami, one of the servants of the deity, felt from within his heart that Madan Mohan was telling him to give Chanamrita, water from the deity's path. to Kunda's son. So the Goswami out of the temple, Goswami came out of the temple and put Chanamrita in the boy's mouth. The boy at once became well, alive and well. Okay. So there's another one, Simachalam, Narsingadev deity. Lord Narsingadev, okay, history of the deity. Simachalam means lion and Achalam means hill. So this is a lion's hill and the hill of Narsimhadev. Deity here, Varaha Narsimha Swami, is popularly known in Sanskrit as Simachala Nath or in the Telugu language as Simadri, apparent from the lion hill. Beneath the layers of sandalwood pulp, there covers him all but one day a year. The deity stands 2.5 feet high in a threefold bending posture with two hands, the head of a boar and the tail of a lion on a human torso. This unique form, not mentioned in the Vedic scriptures, is described in the Stala Mahatmya of Stala Purana in the old Sanskrit work describing the history of place. Many South Indian shrines have their own Stala Puranas that describe them. Anu Nandamaya Das, a devotee who sometimes traveled to South India, Srila Prabhupada tells us that Prabhupada did not dispute the authenticity of such work, though he seemed to accord less importance than the scriptures of the standard Vedic canon. The Stala Purana of Simanchala records the history of the great devotee Prahlad Maharaj and his demoniac father Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu's brother Hiranyaksha had been killed by Lord Krishna in the form of Varaha, the divine boar. But Prahlad, as a young child, became a Krishna conscious devotee, so his father ordered that he be tortured and killed. Yet Krishna always protected Prahlad and all attempts to harm the child. The account we also find in the Srimad Bhagavatam, but the Stala Purana has more to say. At last resort, Hiranyakashipu told his servants to hurl Prahlad into the sea and place a huge mountain over him. The servants chose to do this as Simachalam. But before they could finish, Narayan Krishna rescued Prahlad by jumping over the hill and lifting him from the sea. Simachalam, therefore, is the place where the Lord rescued Prahlad. As Prahlad's request, the Lord then assumed the form of Varaha Narsimha deity so that Prahlad could see both aspects of the Lord, the one by which he had already killed Hiranyaksha and the other, and the one by which he would soon kill Hiranyakashipu. After the death of Hiranyakashipu, Prahlad built a temple around the deity. But after thousands of years, at the end of the ancient age, Satyug, the temple was neglected and the earth slowly gathered around the deity. But at the beginning of another yuga, the deity was rediscovered by Puraswara, the king of the lunar dynasty, who is mentioned in the ninth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Riding with his wife Urvasi in an aerial chariot over the hills of the south, Purvasha was drawn by the mysterious power of Simachalan. There he discovered the deity and cleared away the earth around him. Purava then heard a voice from the sky which told him to cover the deity with sandalwood paste, worship the Lord in this form and expose him only once a year on the day of Chandan Yatra. Following this instruction, Purvasa covered the deity with an amount of sandalwood pulp equal to the earth he had removed, worshipped the deity and rebuilt a temple which has flourished ever since. I'm just skimming through it because it's quite detailed. So Ramuna, this is quite interesting, how the deity of Ramuna, trying to give a summary. Okay. How the deity came to Ramuna. Srila Kishorananda Deva Goswami, a disciple of Rasikanandan, wrote a book in Odia, the language of Odisha, telling how the Gopinath deity came to Ramuna. The book relates that in Treta Yuga, more than a million years ago, the Supreme Lord Ramachandra and his wife Sita Devi lived for some time at Chitrakoot in north-central India. Once during the rainy season, a strong storm forced Rama and Sita to take shelter in the ashram of some sages. On seeing the many cows in the ashram, hearing their mooing, Lord Ramachandra told Sita, "These cows remind me of my pastime in Dwapara Yuga." Lord Ram was referring to his later appearance as Lord Krishna. Sita Devi said, "What do you mean? Please tell me about those pastimes." Lord Ram replied, "Just wait a week with an arrow. I'll carve some pictures of those pastimes in the black rock and you will be able to see them." After 4 days, Sita said, "I can't wait any longer. Please show me what you've done." To please her, Lord Ramachandra then showed her the carvings he had completed, a deity of Gopal, Krishna, and his back still attached to the stone. And on the stone itself, drawing Krishna's 8 principal gopis, cowherd girlfriends, and 4 maidservants to the gopis. Also depicted were 12 cows, Lord Balaram wrestling Mustika, Lord Krishna wrestling Charuna, and a few other scenes. After a few days, Ram and Sita left. So Lord Brahma, the creator of the universe, came and took over the worship of the deity, a service he was to perform through the rest of Treta Yuga, through Dwapara, and for several centuries of Kali Yuga. When Lord Ramachandra returned to India from Lanka, after killing the demon Ramana, he stopped for 4 days at the place now known as Ramuna. Sita Devi wanted to bathe in the Ganges, so Lord Ram shot 7 arrows into the ground and brought forth the Ganges. Today that place is called Sapta Rishi, 7 arrows. Lord Shiva. Nimai stands as the deity of Durga Devi, known as Rama Chandi. Because Lord Ramachandra felt pleasure, Ramana, at that place he came to be known as Ramuna. In the 13th century, King Langula Narsimha Dev from Odisha was traveling to holy place with his queens and many great sages. At Chitrakoot, they saw the deity of Gopal. Not knowing that Lord Brahma was coming there daily, the king was astonished that no one was worshipping such a beautiful deity. That night the deity appeared to the king in a dream and asked him to be taken to a more populated place. The king decided to take him, Gopal, to Jagannath Puri. The king sent some qualified brahmanas to worship the deity and study with Puri. But when they reached Ramuna, a beautiful cowherd village, Gopal again appeared to the king in a dream and asked him to be installed, worshipped there. The village People delighted giving the deity large quantities of milk and milk products every day. The queen noticed that the deity was accompanied by carvings of the eight principal gopis, so she named him Gopinath, Lord of the Gopis. So, Sri Rangam is Lord Chaitanya spent 4 months of the rainy season, and he carved the deities of Jagannath, Balaram, Subhadra. I have the pictures here, you can see them later. Nice pictures, nicely decorated. And in Pushkar, there's a Brahma threw his wheel, and there's a lake which is bottomless. There's no bottom to this lake. And the British, in their time, they put a rope down, and they couldn't find any bottom to that lake. So we can see India is a mysterious place, very holy place, mysterious. And there's a one last pastime I'll tell. This is quite interesting. Okay. Alanath is where Lord Chaitanya used to go when Lord Jagannath was sleeping for 2 weeks. And when they were renovating that temple, the small deity Alanath came out, and the priest of that temple had a dream. Alanath said, "I want to be worshipped by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur." So they gave the deity to Gaudiya Ma. So that's where Lord Chaitanya fell, you know, where he made the marking on the stone. So even now, if you go, you see the markings are there. And there's a The Lord eats to please a child. Once a Brahmana named Sri Ketana, whose service was to offer food to Lord Alanath, had to go out to beg provisions for the Lord. He gave his young son Madhu responsible for making the offerings in his absence, instructing Madhu to place the Lord's meals before him and pray to the Lord to accept them. When time came to first offering, Madhu brought the food to the Lord and prayed, "Oh my dear Lord, please accept this offering. I am just a boy, don't know how to offer it properly." Madhu then went out to play with his friends. When he returned, he saw that all the food was still on the plates. "Oh my Lord," he said, "why haven't you eaten? If my father hears of this, he'll be angry with me. Please eat." Madhu left only to return and find that the food still on the plate. When tears in his eyes, he again begged the Lord to eat. When Madhu's returned, the third time, the Lord's plate was empty. Madhu happily carried the empty plate to his mother. "Where is the prasadam?" she asked. "Lord Alanath has ate everything," Madhu replied. 3 days Madhu and his family fasted, because whatever Madhu offered, the Lord, he ate everything. When Sri Ketana returned and heard the situation, he scolded his son. "What have you done to Lord Alanath's prasadam? He ate it, father. I offered it just like you taught me." "He can't eat," Sri Ketana replied. "He's just a stone deity." Sri Ketana decided to see what was going on. So he hid behind a pillar while his son made an offering to the Lord. After Madhu had left, Sri Caitanya saw the Lord reach out and pick up a bowl of sweet rice. Sri Caitanya jumped from behind the pillar and caught hold of the Lord's arm, spilling hot sweet rice on the Lord's body. "Stop," Sri Caitanya railed. "What are you doing? Who ever heard of a deity eating? If you eat everything, how will we live?" Lord Narayana replied, "O materialist, in the guise of a brahmana, I never accept offerings from a faithless person like you, devoid of devotion. I accept the offerings of Madhu because he offered them with simplicity and love. Today the priests of the Aranath temple point out the several scars on the Lord's body where he was scalded by the sweet rice." So this is the last pastime of Dako. It's quite an interesting pastime. Okay, Dako pastimes. In the times of Mahabharata, the Dako area was as pleasant jungle, rich with streams and lakes. Danka Rishi was one of the several sages who resided in ashrams there, and after pleasing Lord Shiva, he requested him to remain in his hermitage. Lord Shiva agreed and appeared there in his linga form, still known as Dandikarnath Mahadev. Thus, in ancient times, Dako was known as Dandupura. When Lord Krishna and Bhima went to the hermitage of Danka Rishi, Krishna asked the sage to request a benediction from him. Danka Rishi requested that Sri Krishna, like Lord Shiva, stay in his hermitage permanently. Krishna promised that after staying in Dwarka for some time in Kaliyuga, he would come to live at Dankapur. Danka Rishi's desire was eventually fulfilled by the Bodhana, a great devotee of Krishna, in the 1200s. In a previous birth, Bodhaka is supposed to have lived in Gokula, where Krishna gave him the boon to be born in Gujarat in Kaliyuga, and again have his darshan. As Rajput of Dako, Bodhaka was a staunch devotee. He grew tulsi and traveled to Dwarka every day, 6 months, to worship Krishna with tulsi leaves. He did this unfailingly until he turned 72 and found it difficult to continue. Seeing his plight, Krishna appeared in his dream and told him that on his next visit to Dwarka, he should bring a bullock cart with him, and then he, as a deity, would accompany him back to Dako. When Bodhaka arrived in Dwarka, the priest asked him why he had bought a cart this time. Bodhana replied that he had come to take the deity of Lord Krishna away. Looking at the rickety cart, the priest didn't believe him, but they locked the temple that night, just to cook in case. At midnight, Krishna broke the doors. Awoke Bodhaka and told him to take him to Dwarka, to Dako. When the brahmanas found the deity missing, they rushed to Dako in pursuit. Bodhana was frightened, but Krishna told Bodhana to hide him and meet the priests. The priests became angry. One of them threw a spear at Bodhana and killed him. Bodhana achieved liberation. Lord Krishna then directed Bodhana's wife to give the brahmanas the equivalent of his weight in gold and tell them to return to Dwarka. The poor woman could not afford to do so, but by miracle the deity became as light as her gold nose ring, 5 grams, which was all the gold she had. The brahmana were disappointed, but the Lord mercifully told them that after 6 months they would find an exact replica of the deity in a well in Dwarka, which of course they did.